This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, curious people. Welcome to Pretty Curious, our podcast on all things beauty. I'm Jonathan Van Ness. This week, I hope you're sitting down for this news because it's major. We are talking to the iconic, the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15, Sasha Colby. Sasha Colby's a lot more than just a winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. They are literally a cultural icon. They have a deep history in beauty pageant. They're a drag queen legend. Their POV and their experience in beauty is just so beautiful for us to get to learn about and pull from. So I'm so excited to learn about Sasha, her experience, her POV on beauty. And I'm so excited that she's coming on the guest or on the podcast. I can talk, Jonathan. I swear I can do it. But first, it's time to get ready with me. And we're actually doing a first, which is an unready with me. This is for my people who can never seem to get all the mascara off their eyes. It's two things that I always use after I do a show to get my face all the way clean, which is a cold cream and micellar water. So when I'm taking my makeup off, I wash my hands from the day, then I dry them, then I put my fingers in the Pond's thing, and I get a healthy helping of like Pond's cold cream. I rub it all over my face, little circles, my eyes, my whole face, everywhere. Really break up all that makeup, all the mascara. Then I take a warm washcloth and I put that over my face. I use that to wipe everything off. A black one for extra credit because it like keeps, you know, it's like easier to wash. Unless you just like bleach your towels, but then the towels get kind of like dry. But I do love like a dark makeup towel so that it doesn't, you know, matter as much, doesn't hurt the fabric as much. Then what I do is I wash my face with a foaming cleanser. Then still I will have like some eyeliner or just like a little bit of makeup that's inexplicably survives that. And I love to take a micellar water dipped Q-tip. And I just use that in my lash line, and it just gets any, if you have any like glitter or any of that just like pesky like mascara or just like makeup that doesn't want to come off, it just takes it off. It takes it across the finish line. I hate leaving makeup on after a show. Like I just want it all off. And then I go in with my nighttime skincare. So those two are so important to me. If you are that queen who has problems with getting their makeup all the way off, that's what I do. And that's not that easy of a thing to know. Like a lot of people don't know that. So we need to talk about it. Listener questions. What do I do with just a few grays? I'm not ready to color my hair. Should I pluck them out? I definitely would not pluck it out because then you have this like short little stubby hair that's like growing in and it like kind of sticks up and it's like weird. I don't know if I'm fully sold on like if you pluck the gray at like 20 come to its funeral that we all learned from Sex and the City. I don't know if I believe this. But what I would do when I was in the salon full time is either one thing is that like you just do not have that much silver. And if you're cool with it, let's be cool with it. Like it's okay to embrace a few silvers. I still don't color my hair. I have a lot of gray hair. I'm just embracing mine. And I don't get scared when I see it or I don't feel sad, whatever. I'm just fully embracing mine and I'm leaning into that. So that's one thing. But the other thing about hair color is that there's a lot that you can do between like an all over color and like no color at all. So an all over color would be like, you know, if you have like hair that's like kind of my color and you're like, I have these grays, I don't want to see them. You could do an all over permanent color. You're going to need to go in and get your roots done. You're going to have like a line of demarcation. But, you know, that's like what you would do if you wanted like permanent coverage. And even when you do permanent coverage, depending on the hair color line and like how long the hair color sits, et cetera, and like the colorist formulation, some permanent hair color has more of like a pantyhose like finish. So like, you know, like when you wear pantyhose, you can still see your skin through it. Some has, it's like it covers the gray, but it's like a little bit more blended than like fully like tights. Like when you wear tights on your legs, it's like you can't see your skin through it. So some permanent color is more like that. Some is a little bit more translucent. And some people are like, you know, I don't want to see the silver. I want it all the way covered. I always preferred more of a translucent finish because it looks more natural and it just like looks better. Usually like plays better with the skin. It just like looks prettier and healthier than like that really fully covered. But some people are like, you know, I'm paying the money. I don't want to see any silver. So that's one thing. But another thing is you could do an all over color with semi-permanent or a demi-permanent, which will still change all the hair color. So it does, and also permanently will. So it's kind of like misleading, but it's just way more blendy, way less covery. So it'll kind of like, it just kind of like diffuses the gray or makes them seem not so visible. But still, it gives you like roots, but you can go longer than a permanent because it's like a softer grow out, just like grows out more softly. Or what you could do, and I really liked doing this, if you had like brown hair or even like red hair, it's a little harder with blondes. But if I had a client that was red hair or brown hair and they were going gray, but they just had like a few grays, but they didn't want to do an all over hair color, highlights sometimes. Actually, if you have gray with your blonde, then highlights is a great way to blend. It's great for gray blending. You really can't tell the difference between like the blondes and the grays. It just like looks very youthful and nice. If you have brown hair or red hair, one thing I would do is sometimes I would do low lights of the natural color. Like if you have hair that's my color, I would mix up a color that's very similar to your natural color that was permanent, but I would foil it throughout your hair and I would aim for the grays. So I would just like do like kind of spot treating with foils on your hair. Or I would just like kind of freehand that low light color wherever there was grays. And then that creates like way less of grow out because you were only doing like the gray hairs. So like those clients could go like 6 months plus, 3 months, 6 months, and it would still look cute. So you could like spot treat it. You don't have to go all over the place. So that's what I would do. So either embrace it or deal with it dimensionally, like with your colorist and like foils or like hand painting just where the grays are. And obviously like the colorist or you might miss some. So you need to like be comfortable with like you might leave the salon still having a couple grays. So you're either embracing spot treating or an all over color. But even with the all over color, you're still going to have roots. And sometimes really resistant gray hair just doesn't like take as well. It's just harder. So I always say it's like better to embrace and know that like hair color isn't perfect. It's not a magic wand. It is a chemical and it's pigments and there's application and there's day-to-day washing, wear to tear, blah, blah, blah. So it's not going to be like a magic bullet, but it will help. And it still is like a really great tool. Like I love hair color, but there's a lot that goes into it. It is a big financial decision to decide to start coloring your hair and the maintenance of it. And then if you do it and you decide you just want to grow your silver back out, that's like a really long commitment if you don't want to cut your hair short. So there is a lot to think about there. But thank you for that question. Our last question is, I'm not a big fan of hairspray or gel. And I'm wondering if there are better alternatives that do just as good of a job. I've got shoulder length hair and the texture and chemicals of those kinds of products are just not my favorite. So it sounds like you're trying to control your hair because if you're using hairspray and gel, those are both kind of about control. And hairspray is really drying and gel can create like quite like crunch and hold. And sometimes we don't want that. So it could be that you need more of like an air dry cream or like a curl cream or like an anti-frizz cream. JVN Hair makes an air dry cream that I love. If you have shoulder length hair, you could do like maybe like half a grape size, like in, you know, build it up from there. It does have a little bit of hold in it. So if you use a lot, it's going to give you like more of a gel-like finish if you use like a handful or like a half dollar size circle. But if you use more of like a grape size circle or like a, you know, like a thumbnail sized amount. It's going to give you beautiful control, but it's still going to be really touchable and soft and stunning. So you could try something that's like an air dry cream, and other companies make air dry creams as well. So I would say it's an air dry cream and put that on your hair wet, let it air dry and see if that helps. Okay. So that was fun getting Unready with me. We got our listener questions. Now it's time for the moment we've all been waiting for. Sasha Colby. Sasha Colby is an American drag legend and beauty pageant competitor. In 2012, she won the Miss Continental competition, one of the most prestigious drag queen pageant systems in the world. In 2023, she was crowned the winner of season 15 of RuPaul's Drag Race. She is also the creator of Sasha Colby Hair, a collection of luxury ponytail extensions that are fucking major, y'all. So let's get to our conversation with Sasha. Sasha Colby, thank you for coming on Pretty Curious. How are you, queen?
Thank you for having me. I am amazing. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Now, first of all, I just got to say, congratulations. Major win. The people are so happy. Everyone is so happy with your win. I am so happy with your win. Also, too, I know that y'all can just like listen to this, but I snatched my vagine for us today. I went off with myself with air dry cream, and I just was like, I want to snatch my pony, but this will be dry by the end. But I just wanted to give you
giving Sasha Colby pony.
Yes,
it's giving the pony.
I just wanted to give you like Snatcherella meets like Sasha Colby to just like really. I just want to show you my homage. it's like this is like my deep bow curtsy to you.
I see it. I see you.
So I feel like most people know you from winning Drag Race season 15, but you've been in the business for a long time. So what was your journey like prior, like pre-Drag Race?
Oh, well, pre-Drag Race, I mean, I've been doing drag for about 20 years now. So 10 years ago, I won Miss Continental, and that's kind of where I started my drag career 20 years ago, being from Hawaii. Drag and pageantry kind of all coincided, so... And there's a lot of trans drag in Hawaii. So kind of me transitioning and finding pageants and doing all that really shaped what I got to present on Drag Race.
Yeah. So you had like a rich kind of like, you know, like, cause like some people that come on Drag Race are a little bit like newer. Some are like I love a pageant queen, but also like a pageant queen with like rich in culture is like, that's, but I feel like all pageant queens kind of, because it's like, it's queer culture. So that is like fun culture.
Queer culture. And I love pageant queens because they are, it's very regional, you know, you represent like the kind of drag that you were brought up in, you know, a Texas drag queen, you know, like a New York drag queen. It's, I love seeing that.
But I feel like Miss Continental is like giving like to Wong Fu, like it's like that big. It's like Miss Continental is like, it's like the biggest, most major, like widespread like title, don't you feel?
I feel like it's definitely gotten some great publicity because of Drag Race and us who are from the continental pageantry system. To me, it's like the Miss Universe.
Yeah,
drag pageants. It was, you had to not only be talented and have something to say, but I mean, you gotta be a doll, honey.
Sasha, let me tell you.
Like a doll baby.
I don't talk about this that much, but I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna tell you about it. When I was in college at U of A, because like Tucson, I feel like a lot of people don't know that Tucson is like this kind of like drag mecca. And so my drag mother, her name was Aida Cox, but then she changed it to Aida Monroe. That was like her later name. I was Vanessa Van Cartier Monroe. I just had like 1 year in and out. I was like really giving you, I was giving looks. I was giving like weed leaves and big hair. That was what I loved. But Aida was a pageant queen. And I remember then her being like, I can't remember what title she won in Phoenix. Cause like driving to Phoenix was like a really big deal for me at 17. I was like, oh my God, how are we going to get there? I'm scared. But we got there and she won. And then she needed to like win one other thing. And then she would like go to Miss Continental. But then I accidentally got addicted to drugs. And then I had to leave early. So I don't know. She reached out to me on Instagram a couple years ago. So I think she's doing really good. So maybe she did make it, but.
Oh, that's good.
That's where I exited the story. Good. But I have even been hearing about Miss Continental since like 2005, which is why I brought up that story.
Yeah, actually 2005 is the first time I ran Miss Continental and I was like 21. And Miss Continental has been going on since 1980. We have our first winner ever in 1980. And it's great to see the different types of drag throughout the decades. Yes. Like to see what like 80s drag was like, to see how like all of a sudden 90s were like, they all looked like actual supermodels and they looked like famous supermodels. And then this 2000s came in. It was, you know, like the birth for me of like, you know, body modification, like where you could actually get like things done. And you just kind of saw it all happen through pageants. It's kind of like a dragography.
Yes.
Through the years, you know.
There needs to be like a gorgeous like Miss Continental like coffee table book. Is there one already? Like we need it.
Definitely no, but there needs to be.
Yes.
Yes, I love that idea. Love that.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Mother, honey, you are mother to lots of queens and to lots of creators. Like, who was your mother? What queer people, what other people have inspired you through your career?
Well, my actual drag mother is Cassandra Colby. She's actually a well-known trans performer, former pageant winner of Miss Universal Show Queen, which is a big pageant in Hawaii. It's a national pageant. She was kind of the first trans woman, first mother figure, well, the mother figure that I had, really, getting to meet her around those formative years, like right around high school. And knowing I was like, I didn't know what trans was, you know, like I thought the trans experience was like Tu Wong Fu, which is technically the story written is of a trans experience, but they have drag queens playing it. But, you know, they're not out of drag. So I thought that that's like what you kind of have to look like until I met like a beautiful trans woman, like my mother, and saw that she, you know, had like just the simple things of that, the things that they tell you you can't have if you become trans, you know, you won't be able to get a job. Well, she had a job. She has a home, a car, and, you know, is a functioning person in society. And I just thought, wow, you can actually, you know, live that life. Sign me up. So really she has been like the first and foremost drag mother and like mentor icon that I've looked up to and that has given me incredible advice and still is like still around. And, you know, we still love each other and I'm her first drag kid, but she has many just like me. But yeah. And besides my actual drag mother, I definitely have like a lot of older sisters or sisters that I looked up to in the drag scene, like Mimi Marks and Monica Monroe and Chevelle Brooks. These women I've watched on like VHSs and then had the privilege to work with and learn from and call them friends to this day. So I love the drag world. I love it. It's really getting so bigger, but it's so small. Like everyone knows each other.
What would be a piece of advice that you would give someone who is like trying to make it? It could be in drag or in pageants or in like entertainment. Just in any industry that you've made it in, what would be a piece of advice that you would give to someone who's trying to make it there too?
I think one of the biggest advice that I would give people is, especially if you're trying to make it in a pageant or in, you know, the entertainment business, anything where you're like selling yourself as a brand, you really got to know yourself. You got to do your self work. Any advertiser will tell you that in order to sell a product, they have to know what it can and cannot do. It's, you know, its strengths and its weaknesses and how to market that. And you have to know yourself and know your limits, know what you will and will not stand for in order to brand yourself correctly, you know, that's really all that this game is right now. And for people who want to start drag, I say just start. Just do it. You got to do it. Like, the whole beauty of drag is, like, doing it in a community, you know, getting read by your sisters in the back, reading back, you know, learning on stage in real time. That gives you that thick skin that you need for drag. So just do it. Run out and do it.
Where do you think drag is going? Is it good? Is it healthy? Are you, like, irritated?
I mean, I live, breathe, and eat drag 24/7, you know, 365. So I'm all about it. Like, just to see that I could turn on a station and see drag is wild. My algorithm on my social media is insane. It's just drag, you know, drag and fashion, fashion and drag. But, like how you were saying, that shift, a lot of it is drag was fringe. You know, drag was on the outskirts of social norms. It was a place that we got to have because we weren't allowed anywhere else. Now you see them, like, you see Violet on the runway, you see Miss Fame in Vogue, you know, you see Shea Coulee doing music videos. We are now pop culture. So it's really wild. Then you see artists like Doja Cat, we're sharing and make the same, we're all sharing the same, like, costume designers. Like, we are now in this crazy vortex of we get to be and make our own history and say what we are and take control of that, which I think is great. And then it allows so much more drag to happen. You know, I want to see more AFAB drag. I want to see more trans mask drag. I want to see drag kings, you know? I love the idea that drag is not going to a place where it's a fringe art, where we found it sacred, that is now, for lack of better words, gentrified and colonized, you know, by cis straight people. But like most cultures that get that, we are happy that it's being out there, you know? And I think for something that is so personal, for it to be on a global scale is important because that allows a lot of people to identify, you know? It could be like some, like, straight girl that wants to, like, get up in, like, kimchi drag. And we're like, cool, you know?
What is it like to get ready with Sasha Colby? Like, what's, like, in every, like, because again, like, this is a podcast, but you look stunning. Like, is this just, like, what you do every day to, like, live your life? Just, like, go out? Like, that's just, like, what your face looks like?
I put on a brow for you. How dare you?
No, because your face is, like, but on your social, because, your social is, like,
this is one of my best friends. He did my makeup today because we had, like, a bunch of press. So I'm cheating. But
no, but I love.
You know, I'm actually wearing my pony.
Sasha, yeah, Colby pony. Sasha Colby pony. I need, like, about to order 17. Like, I also love that it's your, yeah. I love that you're giving me center part Sasha Colby pony tail. Yes. Oh, ooh, my God. A casual Sade reference is, I loved you,
Is it a crime?
You know what's interesting? I love that I, like, can't even get to my glam questions because we keep talking about like things that we love. But I'm going to. I was an interesting Sade fan in that in the 90s, I was watching the Olympics too much. So I didn't understand yet. Then Lovers Rock, 2000. I'm 13. Ooh. VH1. I was old enough. So she was, for me, one of the first people who I feel like I learned about her and then went into her, like, catalog.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I remember my brothers and sisters would play her a lot, like, growing up. Like, Sade was kind of amazing in Hawaii for some reason. It gave, like, this, like, islandy vibe too.
Yeah.
So she's really popular. And then for me, Lovers Rock was, like, one of the first times I, like, had, like, a job in high school. So, like, I was able to afford something. So one of the first CDs I ever bought was Lovers Rock. At the Sam Goody.
Sam Goody. Honey, I mean, but, like, Lovers Rock, and also Soldier of Love, both of those albums, I will, from the beginning, I can, like, just listen to the end. I just love her so much, and I hope that people understand how cool she is. Okay, so,
but you know, her son, she has a son that's trans.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he's really cool. I follow them both online.
Because I feel like Sade is, like, she's giving me, like, mystique, you know? She's giving me, like, mystery. She's like, honey, she's, oh, like, you gotta,
always.
Like, yes.
Always. Like, I love that. That's, like, old school superstar. Like,
I know. I wish I could do that.
It's like, no cameras, please.
I'm like, my surgery, my butthole. I tell everybody too much. It's, like, really annoying. I guess it wears me out. Okay, so this is giving me high glam then. So you had your glam dip.
This is a soft serve, I like to call it.
Soft serve.
Yes, a little TCBY for you.
So what are your categories? Like in hair school, we did makeup. We had to learn like the essential phase, which was like, five things. Like, it's what are your categories in your head for? It's like whole foods.
So I have like my day beat. My day beat is my own, where it's like skin, a lash, a brow, maybe a lip. And it literally jumps to drag. There's day beat, like to like look presentable, like to go to the store, or like actually I'm more of like a no makeup kind of girl, like during the day. I don't have eyebrows, so I put on my little tattoo temporary eyebrows and go about my day. But if I like have to go to a dinner, like if I know I'm going to be around where I'm going to take pictures or, you know, for social media, then I'll put on like, you know, look fresh and not look like death. Or it's just like I'm doing a show. It's full on 301s, you know.
You have your own line of ponytails. They are stunning. I have seen them I've seen them in the wild. They are stunning. What inspired you to create Sasha Colby hair? Did you always know that you like, and where did your love of hair come from? Like, and just like the ponies, like how did that become like your signature? Like we need to know everything about hair.
Like I think hair is just so important for a woman, for a drag performer. And I think hair has always been a big deal for me. I actually used to apprentice in high school at a salon. And I used to wash hair and like take the appointments, but always interested in that. I used to like play with my hair so much. Like I would be like platinum blonde or like just random black chunks. And I would just always be playing and make pink hair. And like when Aeon Flux came out, I like cut my hair.
Aeon
like
Flux, Charlize girl, Theron. That fucking haircut that haunted my fucking salon for 4 years. I had to give everyone
and
like,
it was like a black
concave.
Blue.
Yes. Oh, everyone wanted
it was
that.
A black blue. I loved it.
So I also see that your teens were haunted and personally victimized by Christina Aguilera Dirty. The random black chunks on blonde hair that really.
It was kind of that Gwen Stefani too.
That black dip like, dye.
Yes. And like, I don't know why I just had like a black like chunk on my bang.
We just love a chunk.
Blue hair, I had everything. I had like, I was like going in like this black hair phase with like Theria.
Ah, Theria, honey.
In like blue black. So like in the daytime, I'm walking around and it's like blue, not even black, it's blue. They're like, no, it's blue. I'm like, oh, it's like a little blue, right? They're like, no, it's your hair's blue.
It's just full blue. I stole quarters from my stepdad's like quarter jar on his dresser for so long. I siphoned it in order to, this is what I had to do because I live so far away from Walmart. I had to get a cab. You don't get cabs in my hometown. Like you have to like call like a cab. I had to steal enough quarters to get a cab to go to Walmart to get the red Theria hair color and then this blonde one. And then I did all over red, but then I did ponytails on the top of my hair and I put the blonde on the ponytails because I wanted like frosted tips. And then I did like red everywhere else. I will never forget my stepdad coming home. I was jumping on the trampoline. I had done the application, got home from the cab, did the whole thing. And I was jumping on the trampoline with like my curly hair and I looked like a fucking bozo clown, like bright red with orange tips. And I was like the prettiest girl that ever lived. I was like, I remember Steve like came home and he was like, he like double took at me outside. He was like, what did you do to your hair? And I was like, nothing. Like I didn't, does it look different? It's great, right? I was in so much trouble.
It's very ghost. What did you do to your hair?
Yes, I just like, I was like, how could you tell? Yes, I just didn't realize he'd be able to tell that like I left and did something rude. But yeah. So what inspired you to create Sasha Colby hair? Were you just like, I want to share this, like share my love?
Yeah, like the ponytail's always been kind of like a signature of mine. Like I had it during Continental, like it that's when it kind of started about like 10, 12 years ago. And after perfecting it, hand making it myself, like doing my own ponies and we were sewing it together, knowing what works and what doesn't work and finding that right thing. I really wanted to put all that knowledge into a more affordable, easy, user-friendly hair. And it just seemed kind of natural when the ponytail started taking off, had its own mind of its own during the show. I, you know, you got to watch out what you say. I'm like, I know ponytail line. And then the next day it's like, I have somebody, the manifestation, like time is very short for me lately. It's very, it's really nice.
Yes.
Anyone who wants to have a snatch, a ponytail to feel fierce and have like, you know, be kitten with a whip, at any time of the day. I just really wanted that to happen. And it was really a response too, to so many people DMing or writing, you know, how do you do your ponytail? We need a ponytail tutorial. And I'll be like, well, let's like do a ponytail tutorial and a ponytail for y'all. So it's really exciting. We have 10 colors out now, and we have one length that we just started out with, but we're going to be releasing new lengths. We actually have a new length coming out on Valentine's Day. Super excited. With two new colors that are more of like an ombre. So I'm really working on ombre ponies, because I want someone who is a brunette, if they want to be a blonde that day, they can, you know, there's just a lot more variety for people. And then we're working on textures. So yes. Right now it comes in straight, and it's heat safe, which means you can run a flat iron through it, but, not necessarily curl it. So I'm working on some great like beach waves, crimps, different, you know, just for all different types, for whatever occasion you want.
Yes.
This is the new length coming out.
Ooh.
In one of our new colors. It's a much longer length.
Pretty. And she's got, as her ombre. She's got her little rooted.
Yes, this ombre. So each one comes like this. It's a rectangle net. And I need combs on the top and bottom, and it's a drawstring. So yes. We also are adding on two combs on this, on each side, because for me, I like to do two combs here that locks in on the top of the bun, and these two on the side really sandwich and lock it in. So you don't need pins. And then you can draw string, wrap it around, and you just need one pin just to hold in that drawstring.
I love that, because then you have to take that chunk to like wrap it around.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I do like taking this off and wrapping it around, so it does have like a bit of like, you know, a ponytail needs a small base,
yes,
to then fountain out if you want it to look more pony, or if you just want to wear like a fall. I know some queens that are buying these, sewing them together, and making like old drag, like you just plop it on your
yes, just like way bigger, like, just big.
Yeah. So there's a lot of options. We're really excited.
Oh, I fucking love that, y'all. You got to check these out. They're so good. Okay, are you ready for our final segment? It's our rapid fire segment. It's fast, oh, yeah, hot, gorgeous, and slutty. Okay.
Just like me.
Rapid fire. Yes. Rapid fire. What is your go-to budget beauty recommendation?
It's like the Milani powders. You can find them like at any drugstore, but Milani is really great for like the matte powders. Obsessed.
Milani, writing that down. Never even heard of that. Get it together, Jonathan. Okay, love that. What's your splurge recommendation? Like, you want to be a bougie bitch, you want to make yourself feel nice. What do you buy yourself?
Probably buy La Mer, like any La Mer products. Like, I love the mist and the toner. I'm not really big on like the La Mer creams. I have like oily, I have dry skin, but no, I have dehydrated skin, but oily type. So I could tend to oil out, and I could break out with creams. But I love the mist and the toner. It just evens out my skin.
I wish I had naturally oily skin.
Oh,
pretty. That's why you're going to look like, you're going to look like you're 22 for the rest of your life.
I wish my skin wasn't dehydrated. For some reason, my skin gets dehydrated. So I need a lot of gels and like a lot instead of creams. Yeah.
Okay. Even though this is a cream and maybe this is like not a good recommendation for you, but can I just say,
yeah,
that Summer Fridays jet lag to sleep in it.
Ooh,
it
really?
It is a cream, but you can just not use a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you can just like don't use like
to
it's
sleep
in a squeeze
in.
Tube, so just like don't use like a half dollar size. Yeah, like it like and you can also just like put it on for 10 minutes and take it off with a warm towel, but I just like let it sit.
I actually love Sunday Riley. Like they're like one of my favorite brands. Sunday Riley's like really good.
Oh no, this is it's Summer Friday. It's Summer Friday. It's Summer Friday, not Sunday Riley. But I like Sunday Riley too, but I like them too. But this it's called jet lag.
Summer Friday. Okay.
Summer Fridays. Yeah, they have like they have gorgeous eye cream. I love their facial oil, but their jet lag. It's like I use like you know, a quarter amount, like a quarter size. Nice. Like you could just use like a chocolate chip, like just, yeah, just like tiny, but it's very like occlusive. So it like really like seals out bad shit and like seals your moisture in. So it's like nice for sleeping.
I love that.
Okay. A type of product you never leave home without. I'm guessing mascara, but maybe I'm wrong.
You know, I actually cannot not have like lip balm. Like some sort of lip balm, like a rose salve. Like my lips are always chapped by the dehydrated skin, you know? So I'm always really self-aware of always having water and having like chapstick, some sort of like lip balm.
What's your most inspiring beauty memory or like beauty look?
Oh, this is so specific. But one of like my favorite that I always like look back on is Madonna Take a Bow music video. Need I say more?
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
What are your three Roman Empire movies? Like movies that you think about all the time?
Clue.
Randomly. Yes.
Clue for sure. I'd say My Best Friend's Wedding. And the last one that I think of a lot is A Perfect Murder with Gwyneth Paltrow and, Michael Douglas. It's such a good thriller.
We have major overlap on My Best Friend's Wedding, and I also love like a psychological drama thriller. Like mine is like What Lies Beneath,
yes.
And like
oh my God, What Lies Beneath.
Enough.
Yes.
Yeah, like and like Ooh, Enough, like really one? Like is
The Skeleton Key.
Ooh.
You gotta watch
it. I just like
it's so good. Scary, but like I thriller, it's such good writing.
Skeleton Key, writing it down. I just really love J-Lo killing that guy.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love J-Lo killing a guy?
Meh or major? Mm. Got to be glue.
Oh, mage. Mage for me.
Matte makeup.
Matte makeup major.
Bubble ponies.
What is that? Is that the one with like the ball?
Yeah.
Meh. It's been a while. Like I've seen that for a while now.
Side ponies.
Meh.
What about bows?
Ooh, I'm actually in a beauxance. Right now, I'm enjoying bows. I'm enjoying like that kind of Blair Waldorf, like Bowie kind of thing. David Bowie, even.
Yes.
Yeah. Bows are major.
Huge hair, huge hair transformations.
Major. Like that's all I do. Like if I have a breakup, like I was blonde and then I went redhead and then I cut all my hair off and then I went bangs and then I did a bob. I was going through pandemic, honey. You have no idea. I went from blonde to redhead to black hair in pandemic and probably every haircut in between.
Is there anything else that like we just need to know beauty-wise or glam-wise that we haven't talked about yet? Like product-wise? Or just...
Probably we all need more sleep and water.
Okay. Sasha Colby, I love you so much. Thanks for coming on Pretty Curious. Thank you to your team.
Thank you so much. Love you.
You've been listening to Pretty Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness. You can learn more about this week's guest in the episode description of whatever you're listening to the show on and follow us on Instagram at Curious with JVN. Come on, Curious Universe. Still can't get enough? Subscribe to Extra Curious on Apple Podcasts for commercial-free listening and our subscription-only show, Ask JVN, where we're talking sex, relationships, and so much more. Our engineer is Nathaniel McClure. Our theme music is also composed by Nathaniel McClure. Pretty Curious is produced by me, Chris McClure, Julia Melfi, and Allison Weiss, with production support from Julie Carrillo, Ann Curry, and Chad Hall.